Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Good morning, everybody. This is part three of the current series titled End Games for the End Times, as I said from the beginning, if you would prefer to call it Last Plays for the Last Days, then that's entirely up to you. But this part three, End Game, of course, is the stage of a chess game when few pieces remain, the final stage of some action or process. End Times, the period leading up to Judgment Day, the times leading up to the end of the world, as foretold in the Scriptures. And just to clarify, the end times or last days, scripturally the end times or the last days are the period between the cross and the climax of this age and the end of time as we know it. Now, the only thing that we can be sure of, the only thing we can be certain of, in regard to where we are on the clock, is that we are nearer to the end right now than when we first believed. That's what Scripture tells us. We are closer, nearer to the end right now than when we first believed. And so our end game for the end times is always to continue in obedience to the last instruction that we received from the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Amen. So remember, the message we are called and commissioned to preach is a positive message. Why? Because at the cross Jesus turned every negative into a positive. Jesus gave us the potential, glory to God, to believe in what he accomplished on our behalf at the cross, which will turn every negative circumstance and situation that we might ever face. God provided a positive. He turned that mess around. Hallelujah. At the cross, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we should always believe for the best and always allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to equip us to help deal with the worst. Amen. Part 1, it was titled Apocalypse Then and Now. Part 2, last time, Pentecostal Power. Now we're moving on to Part 3. And I've titled this Apostolic versus Pastoral. I'll explain that a little bit more in a moment. But last time we looked at Pentecostal Power. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Oh, hallelujah. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Aren't you glad he's the chief? Hallelujah. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the pastoral model for church, I believe, has become the traditionally accepted standard. But truly the model for the New Testament church as presented in Scripture is not pastoral, but actually apostolic. And so in the title of this message, I've actually placed apostolic before pastoral, because I believe that scripturally that is the correct order. Amen. So the pastoral ministry should actually be raised up within the context of a church that has been established apostolically and prophetically. Now, Paul, who was an apostle, wrote what are actually referred to as the pastoral epistles to his spiritual son, Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he instructed Timothy to faithfully pass on his apostolic teaching, Paul's apostolic teaching, to other faithful men who in turn would teach others and ensure that the apostolic government and mission of the church would continue. And the following prophetic word, we've looked at this in the past couple of weeks, the following prophetic word that we have referred to previously is contained in Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous, harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, irreconcilable, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I mean, that's a bit of a sandwich there, you know. Lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And all that other stuff's just in there, the filling in the sandwich, if you like. And it says in verse 5, this is, you know, we need to catch hold of this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, this is a true apostolic bit of advice here, an injunction from, an apostolic injunction. And from such people, turn away. Now, in the last days, it says, men will be, as I said previously, men will be who men will to be. Men will be who they choose to be. Thank God he's given us the right to choose. And men will choose to be who they, men will be, sorry, who they choose to be. And this prophetic word we've just read tells us that there will be men who will choose to be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, which will lead to all of that other sorry stuff that we read about. Lovers of themselves, utterly self-centered. I believe that Paul, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is giving apostolic direction to us as the church in regards to how we can best deal with these times that are being prophesied, so that we deal with such people apostolically and not in a pastoral way that has not been established apostolically. You know, if you actually read again through the book of Acts, you will see situations, problems being addressed in ways that would probably be deemed as being harsh or unloving in many modern, pastorally modelled churches. So it's important that we just catch a hold of that right now. You know, and to be honest, personally, I've really struggled since the imposition of restrictions upon the church in these current times. I've struggled with the way that the church just seemed to roll over without any resistance. You know, as I was meditating on this message, it kind of dawned on me that this is the response of a church that has been built on a pastoral foundation rather than an apostolic foundation. Because every precedent in the historical record of the New Testament church actually contradicts the actions and responses of the vast majority of modern churches to the dictates of secular government. As I was thinking about this and meditating on this, I realised, you know, it's almost like you can recognise someone's gifting by their response. But please don't hear me the wrong way here. All of the fivefold ministries are important. They're vital. But the foundations of the church are always to be laid apostolically and prophetically. And then what is built must fit and arise from that foundation that has been laid. You know, in a pastoral setting, it's like there tends to be an acquiescence. And but that word just came to me, acquiescence. I thought, let's catch hold of the full definition of this. And this is what it says. Agreement or consent by silence or without objection. Compliance. So in a pastoral setting, there tends to be an acquiescence, an agreement or consent by silence or without objection, compliance to the dictates of secular government, leading to conformity. But in an apostolic setting, there is an emphasis on establishing and advancing God's kingdom government, leading to transformation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But anyway, I believe there's been a lack of apostolic prophetic ministry a pastoral model for church has developed that is often ill-equipped to fulfill the commission that it has been entrusted with and to remain focused on the Father's end game for the end times. You see, the pastoral church may make a lot of new converts, and yet it may fail to produce many disciples. Pastorally built churches will generally focus on maintenance more than mission, try to provide a specific ministry that caters to every section of the church in order to make the people feel more comfortable. Pastorally built church will do almost everything for its members, and as a result, will in many ways smother their individual calling and gifting. You know, parents who do everything for their children throughout their developmental years, they create spoiled children. To spoil a child means to harm the character of a child by being too lenient or indulgent. And who knows that spoiled children usually become spoiled adults. Even just think of that word, spoiled. That's why we need apostolic ministry that brings structure and order to the church and sets in place the framework, a framework that will help people to grow and to mature and to fulfill their calling. There's just some things that came to me in regards to this. The pastoral model smothers. The apostolic model mothers. The pastoral model gathers, the apostolic model fathers. You know, good parents don't spoil their children. A father and a mother's role is to provide leadership by example in a loving and in a safe environment where the next generation can be nurtured and trained, where they can grow to maturity and then launch out prepared and equipped to be the fathers and mothers of the next generation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 to 12, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labour and toil, for labouring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father. So he refers first to as a mother, now as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So the exhortation is to stand up, to rise up, and to be everything that God has called every one of us to be, to become engaged, fully engaged with his kingdom. Hallelujah. To mature into a place of responsibility. Hallelujah. And action. Glory to God. Amen. You know, The Greek word that we translate as apostle, apostolos, it means a sent one. It means a delegate or an ambassador. And the verb apostello means to set apart or to send out. And the use of the term apostolos in classical Greek will actually help us to get a clearer understanding of its scriptural use. You know, in the context of Roman colonial expansion at the time of the Roman Empire, it was used to refer to the commander of a naval expedition who would be sent out to establish a new colony. And then in a secondary sense, it applied to the whole fleet and the colony which was founded by that commander. And so the Holy Spirit chose to lift that term from its classical context and then employ it in Scripture to describe for us both the nature and the function of the apostle or of the apostolic. So sent from God, the primary function of the apostle is to plant the colony of heaven on earth, to colonize earth from heaven, to colonize the earth for the kingdom. Hallelujah. So that includes, but is way bigger than just planting new churches. That's part of it, but it has more to do with the increase of the kingdom in regards to both quality and quantity. Let me just say something else here. The pastorally focused church is sentimental. The apostolically focused church is governmental. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, it is prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ that of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So as long as we are here as the church, we are responsible for ensuring the advancement of his kingdom and the increase of his government and peace. You know, time as we know it may come to an end, but the scripture is very clear, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Stop and think about that. Just to have one of these Selah moments right there. Think about that. Oh, of what's ahead of us. Hallelujah. You know, where his government increases, there is an increase of peace, of shalom, of nothing missing and nothing broken. I just think what that might include. Hallelujah. We can see where it starts, where it begins, but think where that advances to. Glory to God. Without end. Ho-ho! Let your spirit go off. Let the fireworks start going off in there in your spirit right now. Hallelujah. Let's just bring it back here to where we are right now. You know, things that have been missing are restored, and things that have been broken are repaired or replaced, and it's always new for old in the kingdom. The old is gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 verses 19 to 22. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so we could say that our end game for the end times is the increase of his government and peace. You know, our apostolic role and function is to establish people in the reality of Romans chapter 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Establishing people in their new identity as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's so foundational. It's the foundation that ensures a constant, consistent state of peace and maintains a continuous flow of supernatural joy. Supernatural peace and supernatural joy. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, I've spoken these words to you so that you might have peace, that you might have joy. Hallelujah. You know, although not everyone in the church is an apostle, the whole church should be apostolic. In Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it says that the whole church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. Apostolic teaching, apostolic fellowship, apostolic breaking of bread and apostolic prayers. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, the original classic usage of apostolos speaks of both leadership, the commander, and then the corporate group, the fleet, and the colonists. Well, you know, Paul always had an apostolic team And in an apostolically built church, there will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And all will be apostolic. All of these different functions, all of these different giftings will be apostolic in their vision and in their outlook. You know, since discovering that the original usage of apostolos was in a naval context, I figure that a good analogy to help us understand the difference between the pastoral model for church and the apostolic model would be the difference between a cruise ship and a battleship. And as I meditated on this, I came up with a few comparisons that I hope will be helpful for us in delivering us from faulty mindsets. Remember, not conforming to this world, but transformation by the renewing of our mind, that will be helpful in delivering us from faulty mindsets that have hindered our maturity and that have hindered and limited our progress. You see, although the correct order should have the apostolic preceding the pastoral, I've actually decided here that because the pastoral model has become the accepted standard, that in this analogy we will put the pastoral first in the hope that in highlighting the wrong order we can adjust our mindsets and restore the correct order. Okay? Remember, we're not in any way, we need to hear this, we're not in any way cancelling out, in any way minimising the importance and the absolute validity of pastoral ministry. We are simply restoring the correct order, which is a function, restoring order is a function of the apostolic ministry. It is also important to point out that when you encounter something that is out of order and begin to address it, you can encounter a lot of resistance. People don't like change. They like what they are used to, especially if they perceive it to be comfortable. Anyway, let's move on. Hallelujah. Pastoral versus apostolic. Cruise ship versus battleship. In a cruise ship, everything is provided for personal leisure and pleasure. In a battleship, everything is provided for corporate uniting and fighting. Hallelujah. Please note, when I say battleship, I'm referring to the fact that we are the Kingdom of Heaven's big guns. The Kingdom of Heaven's nuclear deterrent. A nuclear deterrent is a thing that discourages or is intended to discourage someone from doing something. A nuclear weapon or weapon system regarded as deterring an enemy from attack. See, when the enemy begins his threatenings and starts to make advances, we're not supposed to just roll over or back up. We move in and we position ourselves against him. Hallelujah. He needs to be reminded of our firepower. The apostolically built church is secure in its identity and knows the authority that it has been given. You know, when there are rumblings of conflict in the world, you'll often hear that such and such a nation or superpower has moved some of its fully armed warships into position nearby in readiness for any necessary action. You know, apostles are fathers. When a child has no parents, there are certain things that child will never receive, even from other adults such as care workers and teachers, etc. Because a father imparts identity, courage, security, discipline, and blessing to a child. And so when fathers and our apostles are missing from the body of Christ, the body is often missing identity, blessing, and many of the things which Christ intends it to have. Remember, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. So, cruise ship versus battleship. It's all a matter of perspective. Please remember that word, because your perspective determines your attitude. Also remember, as you mature, as you grow up, your perspective changes. And as a result of your perspective changing, your attitude changes. And remember, your attitude always determines your altitude. Your attitude will determine how high you go, how far you advance. Remember, we're responding to a high calling, the high calling, the upward call of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said it was worth leaving everything else just to advance in that calling. Hallelujah. You know, as you grow in maturity, your perspective changes. Toys become tools. You put down the toy box and you pick up the toolbox. And before we go any further, let's just get one thing straight. You know, please don't ever forget this. Never neglect this truth, this reality. God wants to bless us. That isn't even up for debate. We must never even question that. He wants to bless us, and as we've looked at over and over again, as foundations for the message that God has entrusted to us, He wants to bless us with a sin-resistant heart, a sickness-resistant body, an oppression-resistant mind, recession-resistant finances, a divorce-resistant marriage, strife-resistant relationships, division-resistant church, and ultimately a death-resistant life. Hallelujah. It's not that we may never leave this world behind and promote it to glory, but this is what we've decided. We will never leave this world until we have fully accomplished all that is in our destiny to fulfill. You need to understand there's a battle going on. And we've been guaranteed victory if we'll simply follow the strategy that we've been given. Hallelujah. To resist and say, no! No, no, stop, stop, stop. No, 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 no. No. We will never leave this world until we have fully accomplished all that is in our destiny to fulfill, and that we have, until we have fully met all of our kingdom responsibilities in family, in church, in community, in, even in our nation and in the nations. Oh, hallelujah. Until we are fully satisfied with a long and fruitful and productive life that leaves a legacy and an inheritance to our children's children and beyond. Hallelujah. See, the difference between the pastoral and the apostolic perspective, the cruise ship and the battleship perspective, is how we perceive the blessings we receive and how we best invest these blessings and the advancement of God's kingdom on the earth, so that all people everywhere are released from the tyranny of the curse and restored. All people everywhere are released from the tyranny of the curse and restored to the fullness of the blessing. A cruise ship provides a temporary distraction from the stuff of life that pulls and presses on us every day. A battleship empowers us to bring permanent destruction to the adversarial forces that oppose our progress in advancing the kingdom. Battleship empowers us to bring permanent destruction. Cruise ship provides a temporary distraction. Battleship empowers us to bring permanent destruction. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come to provide a temporary distraction for his followers. Didn't come with an all-inclusive cruise package of free dinners and free meals and all that good stuff. And then at the end of it all, say, well, that was a good holiday, folks, but it's back to old clothes and pottage now. No. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, at the end of his time on earth, he told his followers that he had come to introduce them to the Father so that they too could be sons of God, so that we too could be sons of God and continue what he began in destroying the works of the enemy. So that they too and we too could go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So that they and we could go out and preach the good news of the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Hallelujah. He had trained them up to crew the battleship. Oh, hallelujah. See, in apostolically built churches, the pastoral ministry is trained apostolically. I mean, think about this. Jesus' disciples in the boat, storm hits, they're crying out, ah! What happens when a storm hits the boat that Paul's on? Come on. He brings them a message and says, look, if you'll just do this and this and this, nobody on this ship will perish. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. An apostolically built church is the pastoral ministry is trained apostolically. It has a battleship perspective rather than a cruise ship perspective. It's the same with the prophetic ministry, the evangelistic ministry, and the teaching ministry. They all have an apostolic perspective. They all have a battleship perspective. You know, modern warships are generally divided into seven main categories, which are aircraft carriers, cruisers, destroyers, frigates, corvettes, submarines, and amphibious assault ships. But included in these categories also are other vessels such as hospital ships and minesweepers. But the term battleship is now most commonly applied to a destroyer, which I believe fits our analogy very well. Perfectly. Hallelujah. And the Word of God says that as He is, so are we in this world. If Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, then so are we. Hallelujah. And that's the whole of creation is crying out, isn't it, for the manifestation of the sons of God to release all of creation from the power of a wicked devil. Come on. Kombo shabasakataya distos. You know, the spiritual reality is that if people choose to live from the inadequate resources of their soul that we've looked at over and over and over and over again, instead of it being as He is, so are we in this world, it becomes as the world is, so are we. Conformity instead of transformation. Conformity instead of transformation. Well, it's time for transformation instead of conformity. It's time to restore the order. God's order. Hallelujah. Come on. When the church becomes like the world, they're no longer allowing the Holy Spirit to raise up His standard. The church follows the world and adopts its standard. Come on, is this relevant or is this relevant in what we're going through right now? What happened, church? Plus, I was considering how the church could have moved from battleship mode to cruise ship mode. The answer that I came up with is that in 100 short years, basically 100 short years, the culture has shifted from an attitude of service and willingness to engage the enemy, as exemplified at the time of the two world wars, World War I and World War II, to an attitude of entitlement, as exemplified in our modern society. I tell you, when these folks signed up for World War I, there was no National Health Service. I'll just throw that in there. I'll just give you that thought. Now, we're doing all of this stuff, supposedly, to save our National Health Service. Well, just leave that with you. You know, some people would say that the attitude of service that was displayed at that time of the world wars was wrong, but in fact it was the exploitation of that attitude that was wrong. The answer was not to abandon the attitude of service and replace it with an attitude of entitlement. I'm a great believer in balance in all things, but I have seen the pendulum swing way too far, too many times in regard to redressing a balance, or an imbalance, I should say. The pastorally built church has followed the world and moved from the appeal made to us by Paul, an apostle, to lay down our lives as living sacrifices. It's moved to an attitude of entitlement that cancels out personal responsibility and creates a culture of blame shifting when things inevitably do not turn out according to unrealistic expectations. You know, when you invite people to come sail with you and they discover it's on a battleship, well, a good chance you're probably going to hear some complaints. You'll probably end up with a mutiny on the Bounty and it'll be led by a Christian. You may have to think about that one. Anyway, cruise ship versus battleship. Let's get this over. Let's get this done. Hallelujah. It's over. Amen. Cruise ship versus battleship. Cruise ship, and a cruise ship that builds a memory. And a battleship, it's about building a future. Oh, hallelujah. Cruise ship is about being served and the quality of service that you receive. A battleship is about serving and the quality of service that you give. A cruise ship is about relaxation, and a battleship it's about readiness. A cruise ship softens you up. Battleship toughens you up. Cruise ships are built to impress with their luxury. Battleships are built for function and mission. Cruise ships compete with others engaged in the same business and in the same sector by trying to create the most comfortable accommodation, by trying to provide the best entertainment in order to make converts to their company's brand so that people will keep coming back. Come on. Battleships work together and share their resources with those on the same side, those who are engaged in the same business, in order to defeat and destroy a common enemy. They make disciples that go out and establish new companies. Hallelujah. Remember, apostles are fathers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, that though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you don't have many fathers. Let's embrace our destiny as destroyers of the works of the enemy. Let's embrace our destiny as an apostolically built church that invites people to enlist as crew, not as passengers on a cruise ship, but as crew on a battleship. Hallelujah. People who are more focused on bringing heaven to people than sending people to heaven. People who are more focused on serving than being served. People who are more focused on commitment than comfort. People who are more focused on saving the lost than satisfying lust. People who are more focused on healing the sick than helping themselves. People who are more focused on advancing the kingdom than pursuing selfish ambition. People who are more focused on readiness to preach the gospel than on relaxation. People who are more focused on redeeming time than on leisure time. People who are more focused on finding a place to lift up the name of Jesus than on finding a place to put their feet up. People who are more focused on entering the holiest than on entertainment. Apostolic versus pastoral. Battleship versus cruise ship. The sons of God are manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You see, you know your part of an apostolically built church when the emphasis is less on getting you to heaven and more on bringing heaven to the earth. You know, you'll generally find that there are a lot more passengers on a cruise ship than there are crew on a battleship. In the same way, apostolically built churches are more likely to have less people, but more of the people that they have will be actively involved or engaged in ministry. They'll be more likely to participate in the gatherings of the saints and the meetings of the saints. And they'll be more actively engaged with people in the workplace. They don't have a secular life and a spiritual life. They don't just do the Christian stuff when they're together on a Sunday. No, they're out there in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, people are more likely to get offended at an apostolically built church. But they will also be better trained and better equipped to deal with offence if they'll just stick around. If they'll get over their offence. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of folks quit during basic training. A lot of people, even all their lives, I want to be in the military. And then they sign up and they begin their basic training, and before the basic training is over, they're out again. Their first, you know, and it's the same, a lot of people, their first taste of an apostolically built church can be a shock to the system. But if they push through that, hallelujah, they get trained up, equipped to crew the battleship. Hallelujah. It's all about preparing and equipping people to deal with the continual offensives that the enemy launches against us as we advance into his territory and begin to destroy his works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just invite us right now. Let's just take a few minutes. Let's take a few moments just to bless our Father as we worship in spirit and in truth, because our worship is armed with worship. Our worship is armed with worship. Hallelujah. Every time you engage in worship, remember, you're part of the crew in a worship. To colonize this world, hallelujah, with the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. This is our end game for the end times. Next time, we're going to begin looking at apostolic strategy. I just like to say, just as a little taster, a teaser, I think they call it. I have some powerful things to share, I believe, that the Holy Spirit has been revealing to me just over the past couple of weeks. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That you are the Father of all fathers. Hallelujah. That you are God Abba Shiko Busaka, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. High and lifted up and exalted be your name. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, Rababa Sharababa Sakata Sakatosa. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, fill us afresh, Lord. Overflow us with your Holy Spirit, hallelujah. With your anointing, hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Shakababusa, to go about doing good and bringing healing to all who are oppressed by a wicked devil. Advancing your kingdom, advancing your kingdom, hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you may be glorified in all the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together with me.
Going forward.
church. The